back to another episode of the Rare Disorder podcast of my Meet a Partner series. Today, I have a special guest with me, Anna Laurent. Miss Laurent is the head of program and initiatives at Our Odyssey, which is an organization connecting young adults impacted by rare or chronic conditions with social and emotional support in hopes of improving their quality of life. Miss Laurent, I'm so excited to have you on my podcast today. Just to get started, and so my listeners can get to know you a bit, could you please give a brief introduction of yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Anna. My pronouns are she, her. I am a young adult, 26, who is impacted by both rare and chronic conditions. My rare disease is called Alagille syndrome, or ALGS, if you want to add an acronym to the book of acronyms that is rare disease. So that's really my start, is having rare disease. But like you said, my current paid role is with Our Odyssey, managing the programs and our volunteers and things like that. But outside of that, you know, I'm an advocate, I feel like, just like every other rare disease patient. So I've been able to advocate through legislation on Capitol Hill, from that to, what we probably don't even consider advocacy sometimes, just talking to our doctors and navigating the world, and everything in between. But yeah, that's kind of like my overview.
Thank you so much for that. And then, so I was just wondering, you mentioned that you have ALGS, a rare condition. Could you just elaborate a bit on it, on what it is, if you're comfortable with that?
Yeah, of course. Alagille syndrome is a rare genetic condition. So it is really complex and can impact all the major organ systems in the body. And I say can because it doesn't always. So the severity varies greatly amongst those who have it. So for example, there are some who have to have multiple organ transplants, not because that's a cure, but just it's kind of a band-aid temporary fix because that's how severe their condition is. And there's some that are like me who are relatively mild, and I say relatively because I still have chronic aspects of my condition, where really it's just my liver and kidneys that are impacted. There's currently no cure there's no cure right now. There are some treatment options, but they're not really ones that work for everyone. And I believe they're still in like some of the research stages. They're not available over the counter yet. So that's Alagille syndrome. It affects roughly 1 in 35,000. I say roughly because, you know, diagnosis rates and rare disease makes that number really hard to calculate. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one in my family who has it. I'm super special.
Thank you for all of that information. And so this kind of leads into the next question I have for you. What really got you into rare disease awareness and advocacy? So you mentioned you have a personal connection, but is there anything else that like inspired you to get into the rare disease space?
Yeah, for sure. I think the rare disease space itself is so large, which sounds odd when you say rare. I really started out in my own disease-specific space, like I feel like a lot of us do. And I really didn't even know there was a greater rare disease community. I had no idea. So I really got started in my own specific disease space. So that was started out by just meeting others with my condition, which I feel like is such a huge part of anyone's story. If they get to do that, is truly amazing. And then after that, it was really meeting others who were older than me. So someone who really made a huge impact on my life and really got me into advocacy was Elena Hahn. So Elena was actually the founder of an organization who supports my disease. It was her daughter. So she's the whole reason that the organization existed. And I got to meet her. So she was really the biggest reason. It was the first person I met who I was like, oh, she's a young adult. And she's like sarcastic and funny and witty and like not just rare disease. What? That was that was so impactful for me. And I think that kind of got me into knowing that I could do advocacy and it not be me. Like, I can do advocacy as part of what I do, but it doesn't mean I am Alagille syndrome. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was probably the biggest part, was just starting out in my own disease community with my, you know, Alagille syndrome fam, and going from there.
Mm-hmm. So along your journey of advocacy and being a rare disease advocate, what has been like a really highlight moment or your favorite part about this rare disease advocacy?
Yeah, so I think the biggest one was the first scientific meeting on my disease. I was a junior, I think, in college, and you know, being in college is just struggling, hotness express all day long. Everybody's just faking it till they make it. And I was asked to speak at the first scientific meeting, and I was completely terrified. Because, you know, scientific meetings are all these researchers and doctors whose, like, IQs and degrees are, like, 20,000 times what I have. And I was like, no, I don't belong here. This is ridiculous. I should not be presenting. What do I have to bring to the table? And then I went, and it was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing getting to meet all these people who had put time and energy, mm-hmm. Who didn't have, like, a family member necessarily or themselves impacted by Alagille syndrome, but yet they were still so passionate, and they wanted to hear from me, and they wanted to hear my story and still found value in it. And so I think for myself, that was probably one of my absolute favorite moments, was getting to have, like, a researcher who, again, who was just a genius, like, tried to, like, write on a piece of paper to explain how his research that he wants to do works, and I'm over here like, dude, I don't even, you lost me at the first words you said. But, like, the fact that he was, like, trying was just so cool, and getting to see that, like, there were still possibilities and there's still hope for my condition for a mm-hmm. cure was, like, just mind-boggling, and still, like, I still get, like, goosebumps when I think about that day.
So that's great to hear that you really got to experience that opportunity and it was a really impactful part of your advocacy journey and stuff like that. I was also wondering if prior to immersing yourself in this community, if you knew anyone personally who had the same rare condition, or if this really opened doors to you for making new friends and new connections and meeting new people like that.
Yeah, for sure. So I am really, really lucky that my disease-specific community is, A, not, like, ultra-rare. So there's quite a few of us in terms of rare disease. And so I was able to meet people with my condition pretty young, like, very, very young. For me, though, it was meeting people my age that was really impactful. And so that got to happen within my condition before I was in the greater rare disease space. But for me, I think the greatest part of when I got into the rare space was I really thought that I wouldn't have things in common, right? Because I feel like we stay so much in our specific rare disease that, like, we think that's the only thing that feels like. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing getting to meet others with other rare diseases who somehow still got it. And, like, that was mind-blowing. Like, who had completely different diagnostic journey, or, like, because I was diagnosed as an infant, and, like, mm-hmm. One of my first friends outside of, like, my disease-specific community was Seth Broberg, and he has Huntington's, or assistant-positive mm-hmm. for Huntington's. Well, that develops later on in life. So for him, whereas I was born with this, and I was diagnosed as an infant, I've only known life with my condition. And so when I heard his story, I was like, oh, I'm not going to have anything in common with this guy. Like, his is totally different. Like, he had diagnosed as a young adult. I can't even imagine, like, all of this. And then we met, and it was like, no, like, we're having similar struggles, like, where there's still, like, similarities. And so, like, that just grew into, like, almost everyone I've met in the rare disease space, somehow there's some commonality and there's some, like, common ground to just have with them. And so mm-hmm. I think that's been super amazing, of, like, having all these really different interesting connections in different areas of their journey and different areas of rare disease. And I think that's probably, like the top part of getting into the rare disease space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Like, there's just a lot of interconnectedness I've really noticed in this community. And one scenario comes to mind. Through my podcast, I really interview, like, a lot of patients and stuff like that on their rare, like, disease and their life with their rare disease, their advocacy journey, stuff like that. And there was this one patient who also started out like within her disease space, and then she expanded outward, started to share her story on different blogs and podcasts, and it was just like really amazing to see that growth and development. And she was meeting all these new people who she thought she would never be able to relate to with experiences and stuff like
yes.
that.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah. Yes, I totally relate.
Yeah, so it's just like really great to see that. And I've actually heard that from a lot of people too. Mm-hmm. All right, so just transitioning into kind of like our odyssey and this organization, which has become really influential in the rare disease space, I was wondering if you could describe what our odyssey does, such as its like mission, values, and just what basically it stands for.
Yeah, for sure. Also, thank you for saying we're influential. That makes me feel weird in a good way. Yeah, so our odyssey, which you explained beautifully earlier at the top of the episode, we're a fairly new nonprofit. We're a little over 2 years old, so we're still in the terrible two stage. So our whole mission and goal is really to provide that social and emotional support to young adults impacted by rare and chronic conditions. And for us, we define young adult as 18 to 35. Mm-hmm. And the whole goal of that is just to improve overall quality of life. And it's really important to say that because I think, when we started, it was because there was a lack of like regular programming for young adults, regular connection opportunities to just, you know, outside of conferences and things. And so, you know, our biggest thing is really just to truly serve young adults. And for us, one of our biggest values is empowerment and connection. And so that looks very different in all aspects of our odyssey. So when we say empowerment, we also mean empowering those that we serve to tell us how they feel about what we're doing. Are we doing it well? What can we do better? What's not working? I feel like take empowerment to multiple levels of not just empowering them to make connection, but empowering them to really use their voice and even use mm-hmm. it with us. And to really amplify the needs and the voices of young adults, because we have found and have felt like so often young adults just really get disregarded, or mm-hmm. their experiences or things like that are just not taken as seriously mm-hmm. as parents or as older adults in rare, and that's a problem. Like, that's mm-hmm. not okay. Young adult needs are just as valid as pediatrics and as older adults and everything in between. And so mm-hmm. When it comes to our odyssey, that's really what we do. Is our core mission is really providing that social and emotional support, providing a safe space to connect and be heard as a young adult in rare and chronic. But yeah, that's kind of like our overview. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So kind of leading off of that, how can rare disease patients who are listening to this podcast today become involved with our odyssey through the resources it offers?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's really important before I get into that for me to mention how our odyssey was created, and that was really by young adults, for young adults. I joke oftentimes when people talk to me or the co-founder, Seth Rotberg, about our odyssey and what we're doing, and I always joke about being like, it was for selfish reasons. Like we wanted our odyssey to exist for our own young adult needs, you know? And so with that, it really happened over connection of a bunch of young adults in Rare who had experienced similar needs in their own specific rare disease space. And so that's really how it came together. And so, the first thing that I always say when people want to get involved with our odyssey is to start by knowing what you're comfortable with. What does, and why you want to get involved. Is it because you're looking for connection? Is it because you want to make an impact? Is it, why? And then mm-hmm. whatever your why is, it'll fit in with us, you know? And so for us, we offer three different programs. So we offer our virtual meetups, which is an informal gathering of young adults over Zoom. And I mean, it's that. it's informal. Sometimes we talk health things, sometimes we talk relationship things, sometimes we you know, whatever, we laugh, we cry, everything in between. We used to have in-person meetups. We'll get to that point again eventually, mm-hmm. which is the same concept as virtual, but in person. And then our other program is our topic-specific meetups. And with those, we bring in people who either have professional experience on a topic or personal experience on a topic, and they speak about it, and then our attendees actually get to interact with them. So we don't call it a webinar, we don't call it anything like that, because it's not. In fact, a majority of that time is actually allotted for discussion. So not mm-hmm. just having a speaker on a pedestal and you just listening, but like, let's talk, let's interact, let's talk about my own experience with whatever this topic is and things like that. And then our last one is our blog spotlight, which is where young adults can actually share a piece of their story through our blog. And so, when I say, why do you want to get involved? I also want to say, how do you want to get involved? Because we really have kind of a lot of different options. And so all you have to do is reach out. That's the biggest thing. Just reach out to us. You can reach us through our email, info@ourodyssey.org. Sign up for one of our meetups, get to know us. We have a great group of regulars that just make it feel like home. And then with our blog, we've got things on our website for you to be able to contact through there and share. And we actually have someone who helps with that. So for mm-hmm. those who maybe writing is not their forte or is not, maybe they're not able to write, we actually have a volunteer who does lead our blog. So she can actually like schedule a time with you and talk about it and read through it and assist you with that, to where it's not just all on you. But yeah, so really just email us, join, sign up. We'll welcome you with open arms and a lot of sarcastic jokes, I'm sure. But yeah.
Yeah, so it really looks like there's something for everyone, like based on what you've described. Like, I know some people may not be comfortable with talking or just public speaking, stuff like that. So then in that case, they can go on the blog and share their story there. So I think So I think these initiatives you offer are really great and could be beneficial to my listeners. And I just wanted to go back to something what you were saying about how with the speakers, that really engagement aspect, I feel like that's really important, especially in the rare disease space, because people want to know that they're being heard. And I just feel like engagement is a really important part of to make sure people are active listening and not just passively sitting there and actually being interactive and getting something out of the meetup. So
yeah, for sure. And to add to that, I think also, we had a speaker recently who wasn't a young adult, because a lot of ours just have been, mm-hmm. and she was hesitant to a degree. She's like, oh, I'm not a young adult, like, I can't, I've had my experiences, but, they're different from what you all have experienced. And I was like, that alone, in my mind, makes you even more qualified to speak, mm-hmm. because you're already aware that your experiences are only going to connect so far, right? And they're not mm-hmm. the same as everyone else. And so I think that's a really great point, right? Is engagement also doesn't have to look like agreement or mm-hmm. or similarities. Engagement also means having open dialogue mm-hmm. and being like, hey, my state, that law doesn't exist, it doesn't protect me. There's something wrong with that speaker saying that about mm-hmm. a state, but that's great to know. Like, oh, wow, that's a problem. So mm-hmm. what do you, So it's like that engagement on all aspects of engagement, I think, is so important. And honestly, it's really, really cool. And I feel like I'm very privileged to get to witness our young adults get to do that. It's just really awesome. Mm-hmm.
So have you received any like comments on how beneficial this is for these young adults and how it's really helped them grow in their advocacy journey, or provide like new insight or something on something, or just how they view the rare disease space?
Yeah, it's funny because, one of the first things we did when we launched our virtual meetups, because we weren't fully prepared to launch them, right? COVID, we had a plan that last year, we had a plan to do one virtual meetup per quarter. Mm-hmm. because that was going to be a whole plan of getting to, like, feel it out, and have some surveys, and, like, let's put all this time and energy into, like, perfecting it. And so it was only 4 that whole year. And then COVID happened, and we were like, no, like, this is not, it's more important that we get this out there and we fix it on the fly. Like, that's more important for our young adults who are completely isolated and everything else. And it was really interesting because I think that was really the first moment was we set up a survey in order to get feedback as quickly as we could. So you come to a meetup and you get a survey, link sent to you. And it was very honest, like, hey, what went well? What did you love? What did you hate? Like, basically just like that. And it was really through those surveys that we, I think, kind of got that first glimpse of us actually, that we were doing what we set out to do. We had multiple young adults, like, coming back and saying, like, I didn't feel alone, and I felt so alone. I get choked up every time I think about it. But it's just, it was super cool because it was at a time when I feel like all of us were so alone, and, and we had no idea what we were doing. We were just like, connection needs to happen now more than ever. Let's set up some Zoom meetings and we'll see what happens. Like, we'll figure out the structure later. Like, we got to make this happen for them. And I say for them, but also for us. Like, I know personally I live alone. So when I was in full isolation for COVID in the beginning, it was 4 months of me being completely alone. And if it wasn't for the services that we were providing, just for myself, it would have been so much harder. And then getting to hear that same thing from other young adults was just really cool. You know, I'm glad you asked this question because I forgot to bring up earlier that something else that we do is also plug young adults into different opportunities when they want to share their story. So, like, just like this, like podcasts, other organizations that are doing blog posts or speaking engagements or things like that, right? So our organization does have quite a few connections, and it doesn't need to just be me and the co-founder or our board members who are speaking, right? Our whole point is young adult experience. That's not just us. And something else that we do is we do plug young adults in to different podcasts. We make those partnerships. You know, I know with you, we're in the process of it. And then, you know, with Once Upon a Gene, with Ours for Rare, like all these different podcasts, it's been really, really amazing getting to see some of these young adults who started coming to virtual meetups and were very much in their shell. And then, like, not even 2 months later, they did a podcast. Like, it's just so cool to see how they found that confidence in their journey and in their story. And it's really an honor that I think our Odyssey has been a part of. I should say, I think they have told us our Odyssey is a part of that. And yeah, we've gotten some really just amazing testimonies from young adults about, how our Odyssey has shaped them and helps them, not just with their rare disease and things like that, but also in their personal life of boundaries and relationship building and all kinds of things, and navigating the doctor's office and finding their voice. And it's been, I don't even know. It brings me so much joy to know that, like, we are able to do what we set out to do.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that. And also what you were talking about before about, like, how, like, one person came back and was on a podcast after attending the meetup, that actually reminds me of a patient I interviewed. She was, like, the first, like, her first step into the rare disease space was being on my podcast. And it was just really great to see, like once she, like, posted that she was on the podcast, everyone was, like, supporting her. Like, all her friends were, like, so supportive, and it just made me so happy to see that, like, she was really getting out there and finally sharing her story. And then just, like, a couple months later, she's been on multiple podcasts, published multiple blog posts. Yeah, that just reminded me of that, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, that's awesome. And also kudos to you for, like, having a platform for people to share their story. I know this episode is supposed to be about our Odyssey and me, but I think it's really important too to highlight those that are doing it and want to hear young adult voices, because without them, I wouldn't have places to send young adults. So, like, also kudos to you for having this podcast, because, like, it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's, like, really interesting for me too, just to, like, see all these different perspectives and different people, like, all having different journeys. And, like, in the past, I've had some people who have the same rare condition, but, like, two separate journeys, like, a different diagnosis process, like different struggles, all of that. And it's just really interesting to see different perspectives and stuff like that across all the podcasts and patients.
Yes, for sure. I think that's like one of the coolest parts of the rare disease space is everyone is so different, but you still are able to connect. It's just awesome.
Yeah. All right, so ever since starting up our Odyssey, like what are some major steps, accomplishments, and achievements you have reached?
Oh, goodness. I'm not good at bragging on myself, but this is for our Odyssey, so I can do it. So within our first year, our attendees or those that we served represented over 100 rare and chronic conditions. Mm-hmm. Hitting that milestone was so weird. Like I don't think we had any idea that that happened until I was preparing like a Instagram post or something for our Odyssey, and I was like, oh, like let's see how many conditions we've reached. Yeah, like, let's look into that. And it was over 100. I was like,
oh my god.
So we did this. Did we know we did this? So I think that was a super cool milestone last summer. I think another one is not just the number of young adults that we've reached, but we've also, even though we are not an international organization because we do not have the capacity to do that yet. But we've even reached like outside of the U.S. I want to say 4 different countries outside of the U.S. Of young adults who have found us and stayed up super late or woke up super early to come to a meetup, which is just really cool. And then, you know, I really think the other one that comes up for me, I lost my train of thought. Let me think this through. All right, so the condition number, what else? Oh, and then also, I think the... having so many different patient advocacy groups reach out to us. And I think that's it's not like an achievement in the way that, you know, some people might view it, but just knowing that so many more patient advocacy groups are really focusing on young adults, or knowing that, hey, we're focusing on finding a cure, but our Odyssey focuses on young adults, we can bring them into our conference and they can talk about it. You know, and just knowing that that's becoming so much more of a focus, and it's almost becoming normal now, but I think that's super cool to know that we have been a part of that, a part of that discussion, seeing, you know, larger named organizations and start including young adult panels, young adult breakout rooms, like all this kind of stuff is just, I think, a really huge accomplishment and achievement that our Odyssey, I think, has been part of the forefront of making that happen in the space.
Yeah, and I know, like, our Odyssey in the rare disease community, it's, like, really a, like, focal point for patients to go when they want to share their story through the blog. And then also, I know a lot of patients I've talked to in the past and even, like, different organizations have attended, like, different meetups of our Odyssey. So I think it's, like, a really great thing you guys are doing, and it's great to hear that you guys have really grown over the past 2 years.
Thanks so much.
All right, so I was just wondering, like, what are some things that you've learned since working with our Odyssey?
Oh gosh, so much. The regulars that listen to this are gonna laugh at me. I think personally and professionally, I think I've really learned, I mentioned this earlier, but the power behind truly empowering those that you serve. I think so often it's really easy to say, like, oh yeah, send a feedback survey. But us, you know, I think I've learned so much the true impact of honest feedback and truly empowering those you serve to know it's a safe space for that. And knowing that those who are invested in your organization, we'll be honest. You know, there are so many of our regulars who have been here since we first launched. I mean, the very beginning, and then those who have been here since virtual meetups. And I mean, I can name names of those who helped shape our programs. And we're like, hey, you know, this meetup, maybe we should try this. And it's like, oh my gosh, what a great idea. We should try this. And like, So I think that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned is there's so much power in amplifying those that you serve and giving them the space to be able to say what works and what doesn't work. And that to use that to truly inform your programs is a game changer. And I think it makes change happen so much quicker, and it makes your programs much more effective, much faster. Personally, I think something else I've learned is both to learn how to accept compliments, as well as not being apologetic for being a professional, for our odyssey with rare and chronic conditions. Mm-hmm. It's a very unique position to be in, to go and facilitate programs while also having brain fog, while also having a flare up, while also juggling work and my conditions and everything else. And knowing, I've learned a lot about knowing that I can be transparent about having a flare up to those that I'm, quote unquote, working with, and it being okay. And I think that has been a game changer for me as someone who has experienced ableism in the workplace before. And our odyssey is night and day, not only as someone who works for the organization, but also for the people we serve. Knowing that I can go into a meetup and I can completely fumble the introduction, even though I wrote it and I've done it for 2 years now. And knowing that those that are there are not going to judge because they're like, we feel brain fog is real. And so I think that's also the other lesson that I learned is I can be authentic, Anna, with rare and chronic conditions and a professional all at the same time, and it still work and be effective and make a difference. And I think that's also something that I hope we have also been able to portray to those that we serve of we accept all parts of you here. You don't need to fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. Just be present, And so I think for myself, those are probably the two biggest lessons that I've learned.
Yeah, I really agree with, the last couple of lines you said about, don't fake it till you make it, because, with a rare condition, I feel like some people might need the need to, feel the need to hide it and not, be themselves, So I think that's, a really important point you brought up.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, especially with young adulthood also, young adulthood is such a hot mess. It's just, you're trying to figure out your life and your career and your things, and then you add rare and chronic conditions on top of it, and it's just way too much. And so I think, there's a pressure for young adults to truly act like you have it all together, and we don't, and we shouldn't. That's okay. So, yeah, I completely agree, 110%.
All right, so just to kind of close out now, I was wondering if there was, anything else you would like to share with my podcast listeners today. It can be just, some pieces of advice or anything about our odyssey, or just anything in general, just anything you would like to share.
Yeah, for sure. I always forget to say that our programs are free. So our programs are free. Nothing we do at our odyssey costs money. It's a really important thing to note since we serve young adults, and most young adults still have a lot of money. So hey, everything we do is free. The other thing I think I would say is just for whatever age advocate you are, and forever how long you've been doing it, or even if you don't consider yourself an advocate yet, which is so clear, if you advocate for yourself, you're an advocate. But I think, knowing that there's power in your story and no one can argue with your experience, that's always my advice to everyone ever. And then I guess my last thing is just, hey, check out our odyssey. We are working and growing and learning and trying to do better. And I also just want to give a shout out to podcasts like yours that really do amplify the voices of young adults. And I really love how you've conducted this interview. I love how the questions weren't slanted any kind of way. There was no, I don't know, it just felt good. And so just felt like you're doing a great job. And I think that your podcast and this platform is really powerful. So make sure you're giving a rating on whatever you're on, because I know that those ratings really help. So yeah, that's all I got.
Thank you so much. And then I would just like to thank you so much for joining me today, Miss Laurent, and really sharing all this information about our Odyssey. I'm sure all my podcast listeners will find it really helpful and hopefully decide to either attend a meetup or create a blog post on our Odyssey. So thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.